Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Shadow Monster is like when something vulnerable gets triggered in you and you don't want to admit it or share it or even acknowledge it.
Dr. Bob Paul on Focus on the Family Minute.
What we tend to do is we project a pretty scary image out there as if you had a flashlight focused on you, projecting a big image on the wall to get the other person to go, and back off. And that's a way to keep your vulnerability from being evidenced by what's going on in the moment. So that's what a shadow monster is. And many times we do that. We want to look big and scary so that they don't know how vulnerable we feel inside. The hedgehog is when we just want to curl up in a little ball and have our pricklies out there and just basically wanted to hide. And you know that you want to leave me alone, because if you come and try and embrace me at that point, you're going to get stuck.
More from Dr. Bob Paul at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Ho, ho, ho! It's time to drop some holiday cheer at the Tatchy Palace. Every Friday in December, join us for Richie's Holiday Puck. Two lucky winners every hour from 5 to 8 p.m. could win their share of over $250,000 in cash and prizes. And you want to know a secret? You can earn extra entries every Wednesday. Every 100 points gets you a ticket into the drawing. That's a lot of holiday luck. Don't miss your chance to win big this holiday season only at the Tatchy Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore.
Hey, this is Maddie Work, a proud fifth generation of the Work Family Ranch. I invite you to get outside and enjoy God's beauty from the back of a trusty ranch horse. With deep roots in North County and over 25 years in ag tourism, we offer down-to-earth fun for the whole family. You might be wondering, how can we promise you a trusty ranch horse? Well, would you ride the same horses that have been serving our nation's warriors in the Mighty Oaks Legacy Program for over 10 years? I sure would. Come ride with us and experience the work thing we offer. Call 805-610-0961 or workranch.com.
Pacific West Steel, specializing in metal roofing and metal siding for homes, barns, awnings, commercial buildings, and more. Offering customers multiple product solutions. No job is too big or too small. For longevity, energy savings, and durability, call Adam Andrade, Pacific West Steel, the industry leader, 805-238-1783. That's 805-238-1783 for Pacific West Steel.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. There was not much room in old Fred Williams' apartment to begin with. Barely enough for him alone. But when he saw this homeless mute shivering out in the street last winter, Fred brought him back to his flat, gave him a meal, a place to sleep for the night, and before he knew it, Fred Williams had a permanent roommate. Now, friends warned that his destitute guest would get Fred in trouble one day. Fred replied that some things are more important than staying out of trouble. Weeks went by, and sure enough, Fred's landlord did find out. This sort of thing was not permitted. The apartment owner informed his tenant there were shelters all over Chicago that dispensed this sort of hospitality, but not in his apartment building. You want to be a do-gooder, do your good somewhere else. He told Fred, either your friend goes or you're both homeless. Well, old Fred didn't feel too welcome himself after that. In fact, he was just wondering what in the world to do next when an even greater threat crept up silently from the shadows. And that brings us to the rest of the story. Fred Williams is a sound sleeper. He's sleeping soundly the night of May 17 until from the depths of some forgotten dream, he heard a voice beckoning him, a voice from the real world, an urgent cry from the once homeless house guest. Fred had believed to be mute. Fred was being hollered at and shaken and slapped in the face, and then he smelled the smoke. In an instant, he was bowled upright in bed, and moments later, he was groping through the gloom. Now let's flash forward. Fred Williams, dazed and coughing, is safely out in the street in front of his burning two flat. Firefighters are bodily restraining him. Let me go, Fred insists. Someone is still inside. He calls out to his roommate. No answer. And then Fred realizes, as he was being led from the blaze, he had somehow remembered the bell, and he had grabbed this bell. It was still in his hand, and now trembling curbside, tears streaming down his face, Fred rang that little bell with all of his might. After a seeming eternity of seconds, the once homeless, once mute, forever friend who had saved his life came stumbling from the burning building. The two of them, unharmed by the fire, embraced, have since found a place to stay where both of them are welcome. Fred calls it a miracle. What it was a life for a life. For once upon a spring night, the bread cast upon the waters returned to Fred Williams with a cry of alarm in his sleeping ear. By the way, the rescued who became rescuer, found cold and starving in a city byway last February, was summoned to dinner each night in Fred's apartment by the ringing of this dinner bell, the same sound that one night led him through the smoke to safety, reuniting Fred Williams and sun-kissed, his miraculous, no longer homeless calico cat. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL, brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have Mike Brown with CoLab, the Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business. They're a watchdog group for the county. I also have Eric Gorham. He's with Madrone Landscaping. But more so, he is also basically a watchdog of county government at the same time. And we are discussing some of the issues going on in the county. And Mike, I'm going to have you start by explaining what is going on. So SLOCOG is wanting a state exemption for raising the maximum sales tax cap. Can you explain this to the community?
Sure. So SLOCOG is the Regional Transportation Agency. It's yet another one of these government authorities. And its job is basically to oversee the integration of federal, state, and local transportation funds so you have a coordinated transportation system. And it's not just roads, but public transit, rail, elderly transportation, and so forth, also trails and all of that kind of stuff. And there's a huge complex mix of federal grants for different purposes, state grants for different purposes. So it meets monthly, and each city, each of the seven cities, has a representative, and all five county supervisors are on it. So they're basically brokering this money. And one of the things they do is every 4 years, a major assessment of transportation needs, and it turns out that at this point, if you add everything up, particularly road maintenance deficits and the need to expand certain highways, particularly the 101, you're about $2.3 billion short of what you would need over the next 30-year time horizon to do that. And that, in turn, causes them to say, well, we need a special sales tax increase for transportation, which a lot of counties have done. And it would include both the seven cities and the state, or the unincorporated county as well. So one of the problems is that, you know, there's a 5-cent regular sales tax. There are tax overrides for schools. There are tax overrides by some of the cities just to be able to operate their own budgets. And then there are, you know, some of them have special transportation taxes that they've also, you know, established. And some of the cities are reaching the maximum cap. So if SLOCOG were to persuade the voters to go out and add a 0.5-cent sales tax for transportation, it might not work because some of the cities would go over the max. And so SLOCOG and its consultants and staff say, what we need to do is get special state legislation for SLO County and its cities and raise the maximum you can have for transportation is 2% out of all of it, and raise that to 3%. So we'd have, you know, headroom within the formula. And so the board, the SLOCOG board, voted, there were only seven or eight of them there, voted unanimously to go have its staff work on that and see about the feasibility of getting that. So Supervisor Arnold wasn't there. It was the last thing on the agenda, and Supervisor Pashong had had to leave, which he had told them earlier on. So now we're going to have this effort, and this is prefatory to probably an idea of having an attempt in 2026 to raise the sales tax, but now this is a barrier. So that's what happened there. And I was very surprised in the vote that Supervisor Moreno voted yes. So I'd not had an opportunity to talk to her about that or anything, but you would think that they would want to go into this a little deeper.
And her voting yes, I have watched her on the Atascadero City Council. Debbie Arnold has always said, we need lower taxes. If we can't pay our bills, we cut back our belt. We look at spending. But I have noticed Heather Moreno often votes to push sales taxes, and she has repeatedly said she is not, she will not be Debbie Arnold. Eric, what do you think about this? How do you want to see the threshold going down and larger taxes in the county?
No, we are getting hit everywhere in the last, if you look at the last 10 years, taxes have just gone up and up and up. And when you talk about transportation, when you talk about gas taxes, et cetera, they've skyrocketed, and I'm not a big fan of SLOCOG personally. If you go back maybe 4 years ago, they wanted to do equity. That's how they're going to fix roads. If you were in a poor community, your road would get fixed, and if you were in a richer community, it didn't matter what the grades were. I don't believe they adopted that, but they were talking about adopting basically equity. So if you were in a poor neighborhood, if you were Shandon, you'd have great roads. If you were out where I am, you know, you're considered, you have too much money, we're going to leave your roads to rot. And actually, one of the people on that board said something to the effect of, well, the poor people that live in the unincorporated areas may spill their lattes on their way home, but we're going to fix the roads in poor communities. It's not about poor communities, but it's about a grade of a road, you know, and raising taxes. I think if you do look at Atascadero historically, that board in general, not just Heather, I'm not going to pick on any one person, but they have pushed road taxes in Atascadero. The one was just voted on this year. It pushed through, I think, by about 54%, 55, I can't remember. You know, Atascadero is one of the better cities at that. They've used the money the way they said, because it goes to the general fund, and they've spent it on roads. get into some of the other towns. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I don't think it's good to go in the office and be looked at as, are they going to keep raising our taxes?
What do you think, Mike?
Well, we've had that Measure J, I don't know, 6 years ago or something. There was an attempt to raise it a half cent for sales tax. And we said, look, we could get behind that, but we want the cities and the county to get some skin in the game and not just cry poor all the time and adopt some more solid priorities for capital investment. So we said, we could, if the ordinance, the tax ordinance, contained, solid language that said the program would be independently audited each year to make sure that the county and the seven cities did not supplant. So in other words, they wouldn't use any of this new money to then lower their own commitment to capital infrastructure, would be one point, and the other one would be that they would all, the ordinance would require that each city and the county very incrementally increase the percentage of their capital infrastructure budget, particularly for roads, each year, and to provide some discipline of not wanting to spend money just hiring more staff and more soft services. And so, like the county, at the end of the recession around 2010, had about 2,400 employees. Today, it has 3,000. So if there were a little discipline in the system to switch more of the money to capital infrastructure investment, maybe we could see it. But just to go crying to the voters all the time when you're adding staff doesn't get it. So that's been our point on this.
And I want to talk about another point of contention in the county. Calcoast News does have a story up about this. In Los Osos, they had a moratorium on water usage as they were putting in their sewer plant. There was an idea that all the community sewers were causing nitrates that could go into the bay. So they put in a very expensive sewer plant, and at the end they were supposed to get rid of a moratorium. And the moratorium was basically you couldn't even do a remodel at your house. You were pretty well stuck with whatever you had. And for those who don't know, Los Osos is a bedroom community. It is a true bedroom community. People there, many of them, their parents lived there. They now live there. Families want to live there. But people are telling me they're probably going to have to sell and move because over and over and over, it just keeps getting more and more expensive there. One of the things they did recently is it's called a band snail. It's a Morro band snail. And it's a snail. It might have been a mutation at some point that's only in Morro Bay and Los Osos. It's a snail. And the snail is, it's not actually endangered anymore. I think it's now threatened. But they are, because of the snail, they want them to do a habitat conservation plan, which is going to cost over $40 million. And part of the way they're going to do this, if you want to, you have property and you want to build on your property, you're going to have to pay $1.90 a square foot for the whole size of the property to go into this conservation plan. The county needed more money, though, to get it started, and they wanted to put $2 million out of the general fund into that. Mike, you were there for the meeting. What was the vote, and what did you think about this plan?
So the vote was 5-1 with Arnold opposing it. Because of some of the reasons you just cited. And they also have a big budget gap coming up on the next budget cycle. So to take $2 million out of reserves and throw it into this thing is, highly problematical. But, backing the microscope up and looking at the history, so you got a $200 million sewage treatment plant with interest, another $100 million, so $300 million that the people are going to be paying off over the years, in their special assessments and property taxes and so forth. And that was supposed to relieve the situation so you could take the 30-year moratorium off the thing. But then it turns out the state, the feds, the Coastal Commission, the Fish and Wildlife Service blackmailed the county and said, if you want the amendments to your plan to lift the moratorium certified and made legal by the state, you must adopt this big habitat conservation plan that they've been working on for 10 years, which just putting it together has been very expensive. So they basically blackmailed the county into having to do this. So you mentioned the $190 feet per square foot, and the count board asked the staff, well, for the typical place, what would that cost? Well, $16,000, and that's on top of all the other ones, including, you know, the water and sewer stuff, school fees, parks fees, all the fire, you know, and everything else, and the road fees. So you're, if you wanted to build a new house or substantially remodel one, you would have this huge pack of fees. So what it means is for, you know, virtually hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, the county and the residents of Los Osos Baywood Park will only get a few lots or a few homes that they can repair. So on a cost-benefit basis, you've got a, you know, a really huge problem here. And I think really, in my opinion, this goes back to the real issue, which Bruce Gibson and his state cronies, you know, want to gentrify Los Osos for big investors in the future.
And so, we're going to take a break from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Mike Brown and Eric Gorham.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The Producer Price Index, which is a key measure of U.S. wholesale inflation, rose just 0.1% in November, just below Wall Street expectations. The small rise is seen by many economists as a green light for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. Shares of Constellation Energy jumping Thursday after analysts from Bank of America upgraded their rating of the energy company's stock and raised their price target. Bausch & Lomb announcing Thursday it's exploring potential sale options. Boeing said Thursday it plans to increase production of its 787 Dreamliner wide-body jets to 10 planes per month by 2026. The stock market having an off day Thursday. The Dow ending down 234 points, S&P 500 down 33, NASDAQ down 132. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Love barbecue? At Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse, we're serving award-winning barbecue, pulled barbecue pork sandwiches, baby back ribs, pork belly, chicken, and more. Right here in Atascadero at 6550 El Camino Real below the clock tower. With over 25 years of world championship barbecue competitions, now you can enjoy that flavor close to home. We also offer catering, cooking classes, and over 30 flavors of peanut brittles. Visit ChefGregory.com to explore all we have to offer. Chef Gregory's Barbecue Smokehouse in Atascadero, where Memphis tradition meets gourmet perfection.
Hi, this is Jennifer, half of the mother-daughter farming team producing award-winning olive oils at the Groves on 41 in the Templeton countryside. Our fresh harvest is in the bottle and ready for you. These extra virgin olive oils and our fun fresh flavors are a perfect accent for your dinner table or as a locally grown, very healthy gift. Visit the Groves on 41 in person by reservation where you can taste our olive oils while learning more about this exciting, fresh twist that California is bringing to this ancient food. Find us online or social media at the Groves on 41.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have in the studio Eric Gorham. He's with Madrone Landscaping. He is basically a government watchdog. And we also have Mike Brown with CoLab, Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business. And he is the watchdog for the thousands of members. He goes to the meetings, he tells them what's happening, and he speaks for his group. We are talking about different issues in the county. And Eric, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about spending over $40 million to make sure the habitat is together for a snail that only lives in Morro Bay and Los Osos?
Well, hopefully they taste good. I really don't know. I mean, it seems somewhat ridiculous in an exercise of how to spend money. You know, Los Osos historically has been an affordable place for families to live, and we're slowly just gentrifying the county if we're not already gentrified. And adding cost is just not something we need to do to housing right now, especially when we have a county that says it's their number one priority is housing, but we're pricing everybody out of the market.
And that's what a lot of the younger people in the community are complaining about. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi. Actually, I was calling to find out what was going on over at Flampton. They just had about six cop cars fly down Spring Street about 10, 15 minutes ago, and then fire trucks. I was just calling the station to see if they knew anything. I didn't know I was going to be on radio.
Well, you're our on-the-scenes reporter, so we don't know, actually.
Yeah, but thank you for telling us.
I was just calling for info. So, anyway, well, you guys have a nice day.
Thank you.
Wow, we need a sky cam. You know, one of those. We need Maria Alvarez up in the helicopter.
Let's look at another topic. And I don't, Mike, I'm not sure what is going on over with the government providing housing for teachers and classified staff next to Charles Park. What is this?
Yeah, so
an issue?
This kind of came in obliquely. I was looking at the Planning Commission agenda, and one of the items on the agenda is that the County Education Office has come in with an application to modify the land use plan and some subordinate ordinances that would allow school districts and I guess the county education office to get land zoned for housing for faculty and classified employees, because they're having difficulty, of course, recruiting and retaining, just like all the other entities in the county and the county itself. So this thing is up there. And I think the bigger issue is, should governments get in the business of providing affordable housing to their own employees? And, of course, historically we've seen this in colleges, but this was in the day when colleges were, you know, truly beneficial institutions and faculties were relatively low paid, and you didn't have $400,000 administrators all over the place and $200,000 DEI directors and all that paraphernalia.
But for cities, counties, local school districts, this is a major policy consideration that probably should get taken up by the Board of Supervisors, maybe even SLOCOG as part of the housing element, so you have the county and the cities talking about it together, because now you're going to tax people and you're going to take land off the tax rolls, so to, you know, put pressure on other tax increases and fee increases to benefit the employees. And at the same time, so they'll get a benefit that the regular citizens who are paying for everything won't get. And it becomes, you know, creeping feudalism. So it's, you know, you're back in 1300 or something, where the you know, most of the people are out digging in the mud, raising sheep and stuff to try to, you know, to pay a few silver coins in taxes, but the bureaucrats and the knights and the nobility are all living in heated villas and castles. And so this is, I think, an item for a bigger public discussion than just the zoning.
And I will tell you, I am noticing also that there is a lot of properties that are leaving our tax rolls. We lost, there was a 210 or 220 unit, or I don't know, there's 500,000 leaving because of condo development in SLO being sold to a nonprofit for Cal Poly. We've also had Sierra Vista Regional Hospital and Twin Cities, both picked up by nonprofits. And this is, we're talking with those three alone, that's millions off the tax rolls, which will have an impact on government. I want to give a real quick update on the Lewis Flamson Junior High School. The school is on lockdown. A father called Cal, KPRL, and he said he received a fight saying it is on lockdown because of a fight at the campus. If we hear more information, we will make it public for everyone to hear. How do you feel about nonprofits? Again, when you, for example, also at San Luis Obispo, they were going to have a commercial park, like doctor offices and things for people living at San Luis Ranch. Now they want to put about 250 condos and apartments in, and have them run by a nonprofit. So you'll again lose the tax revenue.
Yeah, and that's what it really comes down to, is losing tax revenue. And we live in a county that, and most of our cities are hurting right now. So we have a county, most of the seven cities have problems with their budgets, not all of them, but all of them probably wish they had a little more money, and we're putting in housing that we cannot gain property tax on. It's a ridiculous problem, and we find ways here. It seems in the last 2 years, we're finding ways to spend money that we don't have and giving it away, or not taking, when we have the ability to garner money, we're just letting it go and giving things over to nonprofits or just spending it in other ways. And I think what we're finding out is we have these huge budget deficits, and it still hasn't. If you look at the county, if you go to the board, even as of yesterday, we had Gibson wanting to vote on things that to spend more money. I think you were saying $2 million earlier. We don't have the money, and we need to start running this a little more in a more conservative manner, where we're trying to bring some money into the county without adding new taxes.
And in the past, for we had several years where we had Debbie Arnold, John Pashon, and Lynn Compton voting against fee increases in large races. Mike, what happened at this week? They had fee increases for 2025, 2026 were on the ballot. Were they approved, and what was the vote?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, they actually approved fee increases across the board, for which would begin in mainly in July of 2025. And I think an aggregate is about 1.8 million of increases spread across hundreds and hundreds of different types of fees. And the vote was 3-2 with the board left majority in support and Pashong and Arnold voting no. I thought for a minute that Dawn Ortiz' leg might, because she was worried about what we're saying here. And but in the end, she voted to raise the fees. And the staff always sets up a sort of force field thing that says, well, if you don't do this, we'll simply have to divert the money from the general fund for critical services like fire and sheriff and so forth to pay for these other things. And from our standpoint at CoLab, if they need to raise fees for boat ramps or golf or flu shots or, a lot of this stuff, fine, whatever it costs them to provide them. But it's in the area of land use, particularly the planning and building department, the ag department, the health department, environmental health unit, and some of public works, which all affect development, housing improvement, commercial development, and so forth. And those are the ones that we really watch. So we were sad to see that happen. And then this really, they don't relate it to economic development. They think of these things in sort of siloed fashion. And so you've got a semi-rural suburban county, it's relatively, educated, a number of affluent people. What are the things in land use that would generate you money that would really help? And so you could think of destination resorts. Why don't we have more five-star destination resorts? They could be ocean-oriented or they could be wine country-oriented, and they generate very high property taxes, they generate sales taxes, and they generate the hotel tax, the TOT. Why not make that part of our goals? The county is sitting on a huge amount in the eastern county of oil. And I know ideologically nobody likes that, but it could be, billions of barrels of oil that, so California's importing most of its gasoline and oil from Alaska or overseas or Texas or Colorado or somewhere right now. And what about mixed-use new communities that have commercial and services and homes of different values that could be set up? There are so many things you could do that don't require big fancy plans or anything like that. But you could go back before CEQA, before, getting a one-house deal through. The thing took 2 years. In the 60s, when they built Thousand Oaks, and the government, they bought a big ranch, the Lynn Ranch, and that thing has, beautiful neighborhoods with curved streets. It has a downtown. It has housing, all sorts of different housing types, apartments, different types of tennis club things, different little commercial nodes, car dealers. You can do a lot on your own, but you've got to, basically we have a land use system of rationing that believes that growth is bad, that we can't deal with the, issues like water and sewer. And the whole thing's been turned on its head.
And what do you think, if it was a perfect world and you were king, what would you do to make this work out better?
Well, I would have, land for a community like the whole San Luis Obispo County and its subcomponents, land use is destiny. So you have to ask the question, what are our problems, real problems, And what do we need to solve those problems over some 30-year horizon? And what are the barriers and how do we eliminate them and go from there? What you have is this very piecemeal and ideological approach. I mean, you had people coming into the board meeting on Tuesday, people, professors from Cal Poly and some other advocates saying, you need to update your climate action plan and spend money on that. And even this board went, no, well, we really can't do that. We have a budget problem. They updated the climate action plan in 2011, right? And nobody's asked since 2011.
We got about 5 seconds. We got to take a word
from our sponsor. Has the climate action plan achieved anything?
We'll be back in a few minutes after a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you can make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peak Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag. Just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com. Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash, Paso Glass is where it's at.
This Friday from 5 to 9 p.m., Atascadero's Sunken Gardens and the entire downtown will be transformed into a magical winter wonderland. With over 70 tons of snow, a massive snowslide, a snowpile area, Joe's little train, a bungee jump, and more. Santa and his elves will be there until 8, along with live music and dance performances. Shop downtown merchants and over 50 craft and food vendors. Winter Wonderland, this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. Details at visitatascadero.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. And we're going over a lot of things that are going on with the county. I am noticing that a lot of things right now are basically financial in nature. I have from CoLab, Mike Brown, and Madrone Landscaping, manager, Eric Gorham. He's also a watchdog in the community. Eric, what do you think about what's going on with the fees and the lack of permits being pulled right now?
It's pretty amazing. So yeah, you keep raising fees and you keep raising fees, and people will eventually, it doesn't become feasible to build a house, to do that project, etc. And I guess I don't get it. I guess we saw under before Lynn lost her seat, things were going pretty well, and then they kept going for a little while, and now there's from what I'm hearing, a cutoff. You know, people aren't pulling permits. And they're not doing the work because of expense. I think the economy may have a little bit to do with it, but why are we in the economy we're in right now? It's inflation and spending, and it's not just the federal government. It's not just the state. It's the counties and the cities that keep asking for more and more money, and at some point, people tighten the purse strings, and they say enough is enough, and I think that's what we're seeing. I know, I can't remember how it turned out, but I know not too long ago, the county was talking about active enforcement for violations of the building code, which is something you generally never see from counties and cities. I know Paso did it after the recession, where they would go out, instead of laying people off, what Paso did was they sent people out to look for, they sent building inspectors out to look for code violations instead of laying people off because they weren't pulling permits. I know the county talked about that about a year ago. I'm not sure if they're going to move on that or not. But they wanted to as a way to generate money. We'll actively go out, and if we think we see some drywall in your driveway, we're going to go see and charge you for these permits, etc. Usually there has to be a complaint filed for them to come look at anything. And I think what we're going to see is kind of a money-hungry county and a money-hungry cities, but they've done it to themselves. We've done it to ourselves through all these ridiculous fees, etc. We need to learn how to live within our own boundaries, and we seem in this state, in this county, in these cities around here, unable to do that.
And Mike, one of the things they're now pushing also is CARB has put a ban on RVs and trucks over 8,500 pounds. How do you think that's going to impact the state?
Well, it's going to set up an impossible situation. So it's, all our stuff in this state, most of it comes from somewhere else, okay? So we're an island, with the Sierras and the desert on one side and a big ocean on the other. And so trucking is hugely, hugely important, as is rail. And so they've decided that in the long run, all these vehicles are going to have to be fossil fuel powered, and there's not the technology to be able to provide that power electrically, and there's not enough electric supply to do it. But this nearer term thing particularly whacks away at the RV industry. So there are a lot of RVs that are over 8,000 pounds. And think of that industry, with the sales, the maintenance, the campgrounds and everything. Even will hurt the state if people can't go camping. So it's absolutely just arbitrary, and they don't consult with anybody, and it's just these ideological people who are elitists and have mainly gone to elite universities and been conditioned and don't have any understanding or sympathy for regular people. So, they're going on their vacation and staying at the Hyatt Regency in the mountains or whatever fancy hotel at the beach, but the average guy in a family might want an RV.
And the trucking, are they going to, is this just going to be from trucking companies that are in California? And can other trucking companies deliver in California if they don't have the right type of truck?
It's the sales. So it would affect people who sell them in California. I don't think under interstate commerce laws they can stop people at the state line and say you can't bring this truck in here. They might like to, but I don't think they can do that.
And I think we've seen it with the last CARB rules that went into effect, two years ago. It kind of went under the radar. I don't think people realize what happened with that. I mean, even companies like Madrone, we had to get rid of so many trucks because there was a model year And it is kind of funny. The state of California said if you have a truck between 2008 and 2012, which we imposed all these new CARB rules for and forced them down your throat, we don't think we did a good enough job, and now they all have to leave the state, along with a lot of big rigs that didn't have CARB compliant systems. And we wonder why our trucking costs so much. We've forced people to update their fleets in the last few years completely.
And that's right. Yeah, and so now, okay, how do you like $6 butter, $10 bacon, you know, $6 gasoline? What do you think? How does this stuff get here?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We are, it's all self-inflicted. When we look at California, we are self-inflicting these wounds. And I think what we have is an electorate in California that is not willing to pay attention. They just think, you know, we heard that old saying, it's the new normal, and people are willing to agree with that instead of push back on their electeds. And I think that's going to be the case until, or if, hopefully at some point, the state wakes up and starts pushing back.
Yeah, if people get hurting enough. Yeah, of course, I always thought that back, you know, that years ago, boy, wait till they get $4 gasoline, there'll be a revolution. But it hadn't happened, you know. I just can't believe it that people would hurt themselves. You know, it's I think sometimes, you know, societies get into periods of kind of mass delusion, which can be very, very destructive.
And again, there are people that are saying that the economy is better. We just don't know it. You know, that the public, the economy is actually better. I think this had a big impact on the presidential election. It's better.
Well,
you don't see it. We're sure of it. The numbers are better.
You did have 10 counties in California flip to Trump. And where were they? All in the Central Valley, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't Malibu. So, but the time could come. The problem is, if too much damage is done, you might not recover.
Welcome to Sound Off.
Oh, we missed him.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I think we've seen that. You know, I'm a chair on the Republican Party here in San Luis Obispo County, and we've watched some of the other counties kind of flip farther to the right, actually, this last election, because this was an election period for central committees. And what we've seen in California is a lot on the Central Coast actually replacing, you know, kind of what people may call rhinos with people more on the MAGA side or somewhere in between. It's interesting. Even Santa Cruz County, mind you, it's a hugely liberal county. Has their Republican Party has switched a little more to the right, and we're seeing that quite a bit. And I think it's just because people are tired of taxes, they're tired of inflation. It becomes economy, 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 and I think that's what this election was with Trump. It's economy, economy, economy. Being able to afford to live.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, you've got a lot of this other sort of brainwashing stuff with DEI and the schools and peculiar sexual teachings and everything that a lot of people are going, what? You know, I don't like this. And so you're seeing down in some of the school board races and so forth, people rising up. And that becomes a bench for the future further up.
Yeah, I think Tascadero was an interesting race because we had two incumbents, a conservative incumbent and a liberal incumbent. And the liberal incumbent, who was the DI candidate, came in last place. There was room for three board members, so five people ran, and to see an incumbent come in last, and I'm pretty sure it was based on that DEI, you know, he was in a board meeting saying that boys can have babies, etc. And Tascadero overwhelmingly said, nope, you're out of here. We're ushering in a new guard.
Yeah, well, if they need clarification, we'll bring in from CoLab a bull and a cow and have a demonstration there just if they need a little biology.
Right. But I think that we've seen a country and a state, it's slowly like people are going, what is going on here? You know, I think people are starting to wake up. I just hope they start fighting.
Yeah, they really need to engage. And of course, everybody's trying to raise their kids and they got two jobs and, you know,
Mike, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us a good update on the county.
And Eric, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you. And Eric, thank you very much for coming in today and participating
that was
in the
a good
conversation.
Time. Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.